The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The name of God who creates us, redeems us, and renews us. Amen. Please be seated. So unless you went to Florida, the Caribbean, or someplace south of New England over the winter, we may find it a little difficult at this point to talk about going to the beach, right? Given the harsh, harsh winter we had here in New England, it was something fierce, even for New Englanders. And no matter how much you blast the Beach Boys in your car when it's 15 degrees outside, it's not the same as going to the beach itself, right? We just can't get there. When you think of the beach, what images, feelings, and activities come to mind? Just blurt them out loudly. What comes to mind when you think of the beach? Warmth. Waiting, absolutely. Sand. What else? Sandcastles, let that inner child come out, right? Seashells.
Fried clams.
What was that?
Fried clams.
Fried clams. We know you're at the oyster bar then when you go to the beach. That's a delight, absolutely. What else comes to mind? The sound of the surf. And is that a peaceful feeling or a peaceful sound? Can be, absolutely. What else? Swimming. Absolutely, it's fun, isn't it? Relaxation. All those are good images and feelings and things that we do at the beach. For most of us, the beach is a positive experience. It is a place of enjoyment and relaxation, right? But just imagine for a moment that you are at the beach with your most annoying coworker or family member. I know a priest should not be inviting, you know, people to be thinking about other people annoying them. You know, that just seems kind of unchristian, right? But just think about it for a minute. All of a sudden, what is to be a delightful experience is no longer delightful, right? Just imagine somebody really annoying right next to you at the beach. It doesn't matter how peaceful the tide sounds or how blazing the sun is. But if someone is talking your ear off about stuff you don't care about, it's not very pleasurable. And you're just hoping, probably, that Jaws will make an appearance, right? Out in the water. Not to kill anybody, of course. I would not go there. But to scare everybody away so that you could go home and put yourself out of the misery that you're in. It reminds me, this idyllic understanding of the beach reminds me of a story that one of my professors in seminaries told us. and Professor Ellen Wondre, she was also my academic advisor, in a theology class, she said, "We all have these great ideas about heaven, right? We think it's going to be a peaceful place. We think it's going to be a place of enjoyment. We're going to feast endlessly. Everybody's going to be happy, and we don't have to worry about dying anymore." Sounds great. But then you find out, you get up there, and you're going to spend your whole eternity with the person who annoys you the most. At least you don't have to worry about dying, right? Because you're already in heaven. But just imagine that. It sounds a little disconcerting, but it's kind of funny, right? The ideas that we have about things. So back to the beach. Today's gospel takes place at the beach. Maybe Jesus wanted to be there all by himself. Perhaps he wanted to be there to relax, right? I mean, he wanted to soak up the sun, perhaps, read his favorite book of the Bible, and simply relax. I mean, after all, he just rose from the dead. That probably took a little work, right? And he went from hell and back. So, you know, I think he needs a little break. So what does he do? He checks into the local Sandals Resort. He needs a little R&R, right? This sounds so idyllic until his disciples get wind of it, right? And then all of a sudden, they want to come along to be with Jesus on his beach trip. And I often wonder if Jesus looked at his scarred hands while he was sitting on the beach and said, and I quote, sort of, if I could quote Jesus in this way, "I went through all of this to now spend time with these so-called friends who abandoned me at the cross, and now that they hear that I'm alive again and am going to the beach, they want to be my best friends again. Oh, but wait, I did talk to them about forgiveness, so maybe I should practice what I preach a little bit. Only if I could go back and edit that conversation about forgiveness." I can imagine Jesus saying that. I mean, after all, the disciples that Jesus gathered, they were not the A team. They probably weren't the B team or the C team. They were probably more like the D team. He didn't gather the most competent people. I mean, after all, they were constantly not getting what Jesus was trying to teach them. They abandoned him at the cross, so-called friends, right? They, and thank God for the women, right? It was the women disciples, the female disciples who were with Jesus at the cross. It was the female disciples who went to the tomb and found it empty. If it wasn't for the women, we probably wouldn't be celebrating Easter today, right? So thank you, women, for your faithfulness. And then these disciples, after Jesus says, "Go and do what I say, go and help humanity," it takes them forever to do it. This is not the A team. However, it gives me some hope. It gives me some assurance that all of us who are trying to put God at the center of our lives and follow God, it gives us some hope that we don't have to be perfect, right? That we can follow God faithfully and be who we are. And God will constantly change us and equip us to constantly be more God-centered. But maybe we should give these disciples a little break. When Jesus called them, they had to leave everything that was familiar to them. They had to leave their jobs that they knew. They had to leave their beloved family members. They had to leave their familiar surroundings. And they did so. It was a sacrifice. They even became wounded emotionally and sometimes physically because they really believed in what Jesus was all about in restoring humanity and making humanity better and making this world a better place. So they were willing to be wounded. I think sometimes, there we go, that many Christians think that the faith, our faith, the life in faith, is more like staying at a Sandals Resort all the time. And yes, our faith should provide comfort. It should provide meaning and even enjoyment in life. Don't get me wrong. But our faith is also meant to propel us out into the deep waters, the rough waters of life, so that we can throw out a lifesaver to the last, the least, and the lost. That's part of the faith tradition too. Yes, this might mean that we get a little beat up. This may mean that we get a little tired and even a little wounded from being out in the rough waters of life to make change for the good. But this also means that we do it for a reason. As Jesus died on the cross for a reason and had the wounds and the scars to prove it, we also will be doing this for a great cause. That we too will be doing it so that other people can live a more abundant life. The famous prayer attributed to St. Francis is applicable, especially when he says, "Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled, but to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive." And the life of the Christian is a life of giving to others. The life lived for others. The life of faith. And this can be described in a great story in terms of how you grow in living this life of faith. I was at a conference earlier this week with one of our lay leaders, our senior warden here, and it was all about church buildings, which sounds kind of boring, but it actually wasn't. And I'll share more about it at some other point. They had a really dynamic speaker for one of the plenary sessions, and it was Bishop Greg Rickle. He's the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Olympia. And he tells this story about, you know, he's in his mid-50s, and I only share that, A, because he shared it in the story, and B, it's part of the story. He said that, you know, in his mid-50s, and he's in his 50s still today, he decided to take up surfing. It was kind of a life goal of his. So he said, "Why not? I'm going to go and learn how to surf." So he signs up for a surfing school, and he's already on the West Coast, so they're like every 5 miles there, you know. So he signs up. He shows up. There are 10 people there. He's the only one over 30. So he's like, "Okay, I'm still going to do this." And the first day, you're basically doing things at the beach. They're showing you how to get on the board, how to take care of your board and all of that. The second day, you kind of go out a little bit, get your feet wet. Literally, you learn how to sit on the board and also lie on the board, all of that. The third day is when you are encouraged to go out and start cutting the waves, start riding the waves. So he said, they go out there and do that. He's like, "I'm already dying halfway out just by how much force it takes and how much energy it takes to go against the waves." So then you go out there and all these waves are crashing against you. Then you have a 25-year-old coming up to you saying, "Isn't this great?" And he's saying, "I think I just broke a rib." And I mean, it's this really intense situation. And he did, in fact, break a rib. He got cuts. It was a bad experience. He goes back to the shore. And the fourth day, he's like, "I'm going to give it another try." He goes back out and does it again. And same thing. He gets more wounds. He goes back. And then he goes up to the instructor and says, "I think I'm done. I think I'm done with this. I've tried it, and I just keep getting wounded." And the instructor, who seemed to be very wise, looked at him and said, "This is one of your life goals. You wanted to do this because you wanted to accomplish something new and something life-giving. If you don't go back out tomorrow, you'll never do this again. How important is it for you to do this?" So the bishop said, "Okay, I'll see you tomorrow morning." The point is, the Christian life, anything that we do in life, is going to take work. And sometimes it's going to cause us to get wounded. It's going to cause a little pain. But in the end, it usually means that life will happen a little bit better and a little bit more. And in fact, Bishop Rickle is a decent surfer, from what I gather these days. So there you go. Here in a moment, we'll be baptizing little Sarah. And as part of her baptism, we all renew our baptismal vows, the promises of baptism. This agreement, this part of being in relationship with God, we say we're going to do certain things. And as we renew those baptismal promises, I invite you to look at each one and ask, how am I being beaten up in order to live that baptismal promise? And how can I live it out more faithfully in the days to come? And as we renew those vows, imagine God propelling you out into the ocean of life so that you can throw out a lifesaver to the least, the last, and the lost. Amen.